For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of shine. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 255 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. And we are talking with the man, the myth, the legend, J.C. Allen from the Pewter Report. You know, a beat reporter. We got to bring him in to get the intel on the Bucks. If you don't remember, he was on an early episode of Fourth and John when we previously played the Bucks, and he gave us a scoop. So we're going to get that scoop for him. But you know, overall, just I'm excited, man. Like, this is playoff week. You know, some of y'all didn't believe, but we are here. So it's kind of like, you know, this is like the week. You know, last week I was not excited about. I was just all about the vibes, all about celebrating the opportunity to go to playoffs, Dallas week, whatever. But now it's real deal. Now it's about talking about the matchups, talking about who we got on the roster. We're almost back to a full squad. We have three players that at the start of the year that we lost. You know, talking about Brandon Graham, Brandon Brooks, Suamalo. But overall, we're pretty much at full strength. We have a great opportunity to give them a go. So I'm feeling good. What about you, Ev?
I mean, this entire week, I've kind of been in the same mindset as you. I've been trolling Cowboys fans. I've been trolling Colts fans. I've just been having my day, just really basking in the fact that we actually made it to the playoffs. JC brought up a point when he first jumped on just about how different things were when we had him on the first time. I mean, we were in our lows right there. That was during the middle stretch of the season where the Eagles were really struggling before we turned it around. I wasn't feeling that confident about the team, but we had a good stretch of games to end the year, and now we're heading into the playoffs with a full head of steam. So there isn't any other way that I would rather be heading into a tough opponent like the Bucks.
Yeah, man, I got to say, you've been very active these past couple of days on Twitter.
I got to talk shit when I can, bro.
I see that, man. And I mean, I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact that, you know what I mean, Evan is actually opening up. Yeah, it's a, you know, like I had mentioned last episode, it's a brand new start. So the feeling is good going into the weekend. I also like the fact that it's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. So it's kind of like we're sticking to our traditional Sundays to go ahead and play this game. And, you know, like you guys mentioned earlier, man, it's a brand new team. It's a different team going into Tampa Bay. We got a run game. We got a QB1. We got a passing game. We got some weapons. Defense is kind of waking up a little bit. All happening at the right time. I mean, we're coming back, you know, with the guys pretty much being healthy. Like you said, we only have three players that are out. So, I mean, that's way better than we were at last year this time. And at the same time, we weren't even in the playoffs. This year we're talking about playoffs. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really excited to go ahead and get into this game. And upset, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you know what I'm excited about? I'm excited to talk about JC, bringing in JC Allen off the top rope. How you doing, man? Always bring the good energy. How you doing? You're coming from down south, bringing that thunder.
Yeah, man. It's a great matchup. Let's just say that there's no love lost between these two franchises. A lot of history between these two franchises. Eagles back in the early 2000s going on that stretch where they made four consecutive NFC championships. And the Bucks, you know, kind of spoiled one of those trips.
Hey, never forget.
Hey, Barber. Come on, Rondae Barber.
Put him in the bathroom. Put him in.
So I'm just saying. There's a lot of history between, you know, both of these. I want to say too, I never knew what John was until about a year ago when I started working with a couple of dudes from Philly. He's like, "Yo, give me that John." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "That John right there." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "A John." I'm like, "What's a John?" He's like, "John is everything and anything." I'm like, "What do you mean? It could be anything." I'm like, "Man, one of my best friends is from Philly, but he dropped the John when he was like, you know, started assimilating back in Massachusetts." But when I saw Fourth and John, I was like, that's a great name. But
we're trying to win the John on Sunday, bro.
Yeah, you try to win this John, but no, you know, I like I said, I'm excited for this matchup. I think you know, the Bucks really got lucky with that number two seed. Eagles, you guys had already locked up a spot, so you know, last week, rest some starters, make sure you're good. Let the Cowboys score 50 points if they want, whatever, do whatever you got. We're preparing for that first week. But it's going to be a tough matchup. You know, looking across the board, looking on paper here, your run game has really started to get going. And, you know, Lavonte David is a guy who has been amazing for the Bucks, stopping the run, been out the last 3 weeks. And Bruce said on Monday that, you know, he's really unsure about his status. But I mean, if he can play, I think it's going to be huge for taking away that running game. What they're able to do in that first game in week six, you know, Jalen Hurts beat them a lot, you know, with lack of containing and tackling, and Miles Sanders really didn't get anything going until late in the game where the Bucks were playing the pass and he broke a couple long ones. So, you know, that's your bread and butter right now is a running game. And, if the Bucks can get Lavonte David back, they got the big boys up front. Vita Vea just got a fat contract, so he's excited.
Got
so,
paid, yeah.
Yeah, he got paid.
46 mil guaranteed.
46 mil guaranteed. So he's raring to go. So, you know, that's gonna be a big part of this game, I think, is stopping the run and letting you guys, you know, forcing you guys to pass it on one of the really good, you know, secondaries in this league that the Bucks have that finally got to play, and not even really because Jamel Dean, we thought week 17 we're going to see the first time that the Bucks had their full secondary healthy on the field. Sean Murphy Bunton goes down early. Same thing happens week 18. Jamel Dean goes down with a hamstring early. So we still have yet to see the Bucks with their starting secondary. But when they're all together, when they're on, they're a very tough group to stop.
Well, now Richard Sherman is actually he's been put on the IR for the second time, so that ends his season, correct?
Correct. Yeah, he's no longer – he's going to be coaching, you know. So last season it kind of happened with A.Q. Shipley. It was a veteran center they brought in, and he ended up getting injured, going on injured reserve. And, you know, he started the transition to coaching, and that's what Sherman's going to do. He's been tremendous for this young secondary. They've never really had a mentor to lean on to and learn from and pick their brain. So even just having Richard Sherman's knowledge and experience back there has been great for these guys to grow. And you've really seen them grow. Jamel Dean, one of the top corners in coverage all season long. Sean Murphy Bunting was out for a while. Carlton Davis, can't say enough about him. He's just a true lockdown corner in the NFL. So, you know, having Richard Sherman to lean on has been tremendous for their growth and development this year.
Sorry, Prime. I just meant to ask on the note of Richard Sherman. I know how he's going to be missing this game, but you talked about just his presence in the locker room, his presence being with that group of guys. Can you just touch more on like what Richard Sherman has actually done on the field this season? Because I just remember him being a free agent for the longest time and sitting there thinking to myself, how is this guy still available? And the Bucks finally bid on him. And was it worth it at that point?
You know, he played. He gave you a really good, strong game playing, you know, off the street pretty much. Less than a week, you know, Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis go down. Jamel Dean was out. Carlton Davis goes down in that Patriots game. He played wire to wire. Then the next week with the Dolphins, played wire to wire. He actually got hurt week six in that Eagles game for the first time. And that's when his first in on IR went. And then he came back. He was playing a little bit of hybrid safety type deal. He actually got an interception. I believe that was a fourth game, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken, though. So, you know, he's been, you know, on the field. And, you know, he gave you some solid snaps. He was a body to throw in there. He didn't overly, you know, cause mistakes. He won those games against Miami and the Patriots. Obviously, he won the game against Eagles as well. But, like I said, I feel like his presence there, his biggest impact has come as a mentor slash coach to these younger guys.
Yeah, and his football acumen's off the chart. So
yeah, he's just one of the smartest football players ever play the game. Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame for sure.
JC, I didn't get the privilege to be on the last show. Can't remember. I had pretty much had something to do, but and a privilege to get to go ahead and meet you. And I just want to say, you know, great notes all around. I appreciate the feedback, but not intimidated at all, just so you know. All right. It's a whole brand new team. The run game is serious. We were just pretty much developing the run game when we last played you guys. And yeah, they decided to go ahead and bring that
set. They brought in a new running back. You guys had Miles Sanders. Half,
you know what I mean? Don't forget that it was almost a comeback. I'm pretty sure that Tom and the team is knowing that they're going against not that same Eagles that they played in the beginning, during the regular season. With that being said, with the whole stuff that happened, like towards the end of the season with Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, the altercation, I know that's not his focus. I know he's not letting that get to him, but I mean, like, how do you feel, honestly, losing AB? I mean, you know, he was a key addition to that team last year with the Super Bowl run and everything. And then with the whole incident, like, now that he's not there, I know you still got Mike Evans, you got Gronkowski, Godwin being out.
It hurts. Yeah. It's definitely a huge blow. I mean, if you watch Antonio Brown this season, he looked like a top 12 wide receiver in the league. I mean, even in that Jets game, that first, made Bryce all fall on his ass, the multiple, I want to say, not even a double take, triple take on the route and just, made him fall over. But he's been amazing, when he's been on. The problem with AB is it's all mental for him. He was upset. Obviously there's multiple reports that come out, Antonio Brown side on the Full Send podcast, Bruce Arians side, some players side. I've talked to players. I've talked to, we've heard, on both sides in the media. It was really about targets, and this goes really stems back to when he asked for his incentives to be guaranteed by the Bucks, and they said no, and that, peed him off, and players have said it boiled over throughout the week until the fact, when it was going. And the funny thing is he was targeted 5 times in the first half, 3 catches for 21 yards. Gronk was targeted 6 times. Mike Evans was targeted 4 times. So he got targeted more than Mike Evans, one less than Gronk, but he was upset about targets from what I've heard from people on the team. I've had one player say that's just AB being AB, So like it that kind of tells you that, hey, it's just – the dude is who he is, exactly. Might not have been the first time he's had outbreaks, but it's a huge loss because he's such a gifted receiver, such a talented receiver, but they've got guys, next man up mentality. You all guys know all about that this season. You got guys like Rashad Perriman, who made, the toe drag swag catch of the week last week. Cyril Grayson, who has performed well in the last 2 games, obviously got hurt in the first series with a hamstring. Looks like he might be able to play. Leonard Fournette's probably coming back, so you'll get him back out of the backfield. But let's face it, Mike Evans and Gronkowski, other than that 07 season, might be the best pairing of weapons that Tom Brady's ever had. No disrespect to Wes Welker, no disrespect to Troy Brown, no disrespect to Julian Edelman. Mike Evans is just a different player, and you saw that last week. You saw the way he uses his body in the red zone, his ability to high point catches, and just his clutchness to make first down. So you have him, you have Gronk, who is borderline unstoppable. And unfortunately for the Eagles, you guys don't have a tight end eraser. It's going to take some. And another thing, Darius Slay he's not a shadower. He's not a shadow man. He hasn't, for the most part, hasn't been shadowing receivers. So if they can get, if they can scheme Mike Evans in different ways to put him in the slot, move him around the field, and you'll get some good matchups against some of those cornerbacks. Now, I know Avante Maddox has kind of came on since that Week 6 game, but I still think, you match him up with Evans or even Gronk on the slot, or even O.J. Howard for that matter, with his size and speed and strength. There's definitely some matchups that the Bucs can exploit, even though Antonio Brown is no longer on the team.
JC, sorry, Gil. I was like, you have me on all those other names, but O.J. Howard, I'm not going to allow it. I think this Eagles team can shut down O.J. Howard.
They did it Week 6. 6 catches, 49 yards, a touchdown, long of 15. I mean, he had a game. So, I mean, I don't think he's going to have another game. Obviously that game too, Gronk wasn't there as well. So, he's not going to be focal point as a top tight end. And Kimbert has really outplayed him and outsnapped him in recent weeks. But hey, you never know. They might be able to find some plays in here because they know they had an opportunity to get him open and make some moves in that first game.
Now, people in the chat, if you want to send a question to JC,
you know, this is your opportunity to ask a Bucks beat writer about the Bucks and this matchup. You know, but overall, just thinking about the identity of this Eagles football team, it's really has changed. And I think the identity of the coaching staff and the way they've stuck to the run. Like you talk about Miles Sanders in that first game getting one opportunity, and then they at the end of the game they decided to run the ball and it started to work. And then, you know, the Eagle fans have been bullying this coaching staff into running the ball so much so that run the ball chance have been a thing. And they finally got it stuck in their head, and that's been their identity. That's I think that's the biggest difference. They've gained confidence. I think the offensive line has gelled tremendously. The left side of the line has been great with Mulata and Dickerson, the big bopper, Mulata likes to call him. But I think they have that mentality. I think imposing their will has to be a thing. Going down to, you know, Tampa, just, you know, coming down there with the way that you play football. I know Brady's going to do what he does, and Bucks do what they do, but the Eagles have to stick to what they do, I think, to be successful this weekend.
Yeah, the only problem with that is the Bucks have the number one run defense in the NFC, the third defense overall in the league, and you're getting guys like, potentially, I said, Levante David back. Well, Shaq Barrett just came off the COVID list, so you're getting him back. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Nelson has done an amazing job of setting the edge, and even as a pass rusher these past couple weeks without him out. And you're also getting JPP back. Joe Tryon-Chirinka as well has been amazing as a rookie. I mean, the numbers might not reflect it sack-wise, but the way he's been able to be utilized as a choker on that defense, as a three-tech, you know, in multiple different ways and scenarios. You gotta remember too, like Todd Bowles, he's gonna dial up some different things. You know, the biggest thing for me when it comes to running is not Miles Sanders, and I respect Miles Sanders as a running back. It's more Jalen Hurts. You gotta contain. If you're gonna send pressure, even if you don't send pressure, if you're getting, you know, even if you're getting pressure with just four or three, you got to make sure that you have a spy, someone that's going to be able to get out to him, because he's got wheels. And you saw Sam Darnold was able to get some runs last week. There's going to be heavy RPOs with this Eagles offense, and they're going to try to get Jalen Hurts, you know, moving in space with the ball, because he does great things. I think, what, 700 yards this season?
Yep.
As a rusher plus?
Yep.
You know, so two of them against the Bucks. So,
yeah.
You know, you got to be able to stop him more than I think Miles Sanders. You know, I think the wild card in this is Kenneth Gainwell. I really, really liked him out of college, and the way they can use him and utilize him in different packages, I think he gives them another explosive option. So, you know, it's going to be tough to run up that middle. I tell you that. It's going to be tough to hit those sides. It's going to take, as you said, great blocking from the offensive line to try to impose their will. But, you know, you're going to be in Tampa. The crowd's going to be behind you. It was 80 degrees last Sunday. I don't know what the weather is right there in Philly, but that can play a part too in it. Make you a little, those big boys, you know, if they're not used to playing in it, they can get run down a little bit. And it's going to really just depend on the offense too, right? The Bucks offense. How long is that defense out on the field? Are the Bucks, are the Bucks forcing quick outs where the defense is gassed on both sides? Or it's going to be interesting to see. As far as this question right here, what can the Eagles D-line do with the Saints D-line to Brady? I don't think so. If you guys are at full strength, maybe. But this season has not been a bright spot for that Eagles pass rush. I mean, they're 31st in the league with only 29 sacks. They just have not been able to get to the quarterback at a consistent rate. So I don't think they're going to have much success. This is a Pro Bowl team on the offensive line that's turning in three of the starting Pro Bowl linemen, one reserve, and quite frankly, Donovan Smith was robbed. He was ranked the seventh offensive lineman per PFF on tackles, tackle per PFF this season. He's just been amazing as well. So I think they were definitely robbed of that. But yeah, it's going to be tough for them, you know. And even if they do get pass rush, one thing that Philly's been lacking as well is turnovers. You know, with their pass rush, maybe causing some erratic throws, maybe causing some fumbles that they haven't been able to do much. The turnover margin, just middle of the pack, tied for 16th at a zero rate. I mean, compared to the Bucks, they're plus 10 in their turnover rate. You know, sixth in the league. So I think that plays hand in hand with pass rush and turnovers, obviously can really, you know, go hand in hand together. And that's something that, you know, Philly, I think, is going to struggle with.
absolutely. I mean, just looking at Tom Brady's stats, I mean, it's really unbelievable, man. What is this guy, like 67 now? He's throwing 5,300 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. Not a guy that really makes mistakes. And you're talking about how, like, this Eagles defense really would need to capitalize on mistakes made and get some turnovers in order to have a chance in this game. And you bring up some good points, too, as far as the Eagles run game. I mean, I'm looking at something that has been kind of a sour spot of the Eagles run game, which has been Miles Sanders didn't get in the end zone one time all year long. He was able, hey, Gail, don't give me that face. He was able to get the ball down the field. This man couldn't score a single point all year long.
I'm just making the face right along with you, just saying that is just like,
it's cringeworthy, man. He's a guy that I really think is, on the upper end of talent in this league as far as the running back position is concerned, but he just hasn't been able to get across that goal line. And that's ultimately what matters, is putting points on the board. So we just got to get it done in other ways. Do you see Jordan Howard, Kenny Gainwell? You said you were impressed by Kenny Gainwell. You see them being able to get the job done?
Well, I mean, here's the thing that I kind of mentioned the first time they played. Devin White has really struggled and regressed as a linebacker. You know, tabbed as one of the best linebackers in football before the season. He finished the season with 3, 2, and 4 tackles total in his game. So he's been really struggling, missed tackles, missed opportunities. So using those running backs in the passing game, I think, is going to be, you know, one way you can hurt them. Using some of the, you know, getting good matchups, especially if Lavonte David doesn't play. You know, using the tight ends, Dallas Goedert, in certain ways, get him matchup. Not on Whitehead, because Whitehead can be a tight end eraser when he's playing on. But getting him matched up on Devin White, you can definitely get some. Sean Murphy Bunting has been abused as well. But as far as using those running backs, yeah, use them out of the backfield. Line them up in the slot. Figure out ways to get them in one-on-one coverage with Devin White, or, you know, get the ball out quick. And obviously Jalen Hurts. You got to use Jalen Hurts there. I mean, he's been a stud when it comes to running the ball on his team and with his legs, and that's where the Bucs have struggled. I know someone was like, so what can we do? Do we just not show up? No, there's definitely things you can do, and it all depends on what defense the Bucs are rolling out there. Are they rolling out the defense that didn't let up a touchdown for 4.5 quarters? Or are they letting up the defense that had the Jets on top of them all game long?
Yeah.
You know, until 15 seconds left in the game. So this has been a very Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde defense for this Bucs this year. So really, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, I think the Bucs are the favorites, and I think everyone can see why they would be tabbed as the favorites. But I don't think for sure that this is a blowout game or anything like that. I think it's a battle. You've got two hard-nosed teams that are going to go after it and are going to give it their all. You know, you're in the playoffs. You know, any given Sunday is literally the epitome of in the playoffs, and things can always happen.
One of the things that I believe Nick Sirianni has kind of taken a page out of Doug Peterson's book, we've been frequently recently been going for it a lot on fourth down. How does the Bucs defense go up against like third and fourth down conversions? Do you think that we'd be able to convert on some of these, or have they been locked down?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, it really depends on what Bucs team you're getting, to be honest.
Yeah, if David's going to be out there or not.
Yeah, he's definitely a huge part of that. You know, third down conversions so far, they've let up 87 third down conversions of 226. So they've been pretty good on it.
About a third, yeah.
Yeah, fourth down, they've struggled a little bit more, 13 of 28 on fourth down conversions. So, you know, it's like I said, it's going to depend on what kind of Bucs defense shows up. You know, they've been on top of things and they've been terrible. You know, so I you know, going back to this Carolina Panthers game, the Eagles are definitely a better team than the Carolina Panthers. They're a better team. That's the biggest thing, is the Bucs have been struggling on defense against teams that have bad offenses, and they've been pretty good against teams with good offenses. So it's maddening, really.
Yeah.
I don't know how to really fully answer that.
I don't really think there's an honest answer for it.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned earlier, it's any given Sunday. It's a fresh start. It's the playoffs. You know they're going to come with a different game style. So, I mean, that's all teams that are in the playoffs. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you there.
Well, talking about the teams that the Bucks and the Eagles have played a lot of similar opponents. We're like 7-3 against the same opponents. And it's funny things like you guys have beat the Cowboys. We have beat the Bucks. We got swept by the Cowboys and the Bucks got swept by the Saints. Now what is it what the Saints did to Brady that you think is something similar the Eagles could potentially do on Sunday?
You know, I don't think they have the personnel, to be honest with you. I don't think they have the personnel to do it. The Eagles are very talented defense. They're very well coached. And that's not to say that the Eagles aren't well coached, but they're missing a bunch of players. You know, you look at every level, they have questions for the Bucs at every level. And I just don't think that the personnel is there for the Eagles, to be honest. I mean, Darius Slay is a heck of a guy, but you look at your safeties, look at your corners, your linebackers, you know.
You're telling me all the things I want to hear. I wanted you to say that because that was the one key thing that I took away from last game is where once Brady figured out the answers to the test, then he was like, he just went back and started picking the scab. He started hitting the seams, started taking advantage of the linebackers and the safeties, and he was just hitting all day. And I was like, there's no way we can stop him if he keeps it up at this rate. And he was like death by 1,000 paper cuts that game.
Yeah. And Gronk is back now too, which really is going to be a tough matchup for your linebackers and safeties as well. I mean, he dials it up in the playoffs, and he's right now he's looking in prime condition. You know, he's balled out the last two games. So. You know,
is that because of the incentive?
Yeah, the $1 million incentive.
Yeah.
He got $1 million on that one catch.
Yeah,
I need one more catch, Tom.
Did you see the NFL films? He's like, if I don't get this catch, I'm going to get a real job.
That's what I was literally just about to bring up, too, because we talked about earlier in this podcast how the whole thing with Antonio Brown came from his incentives, that he wanted to reach those his milestones in his contract so he gets those extra incentive money. I watched that video right before we jumped on, and Gronk said it's as simple as, yo, Tom, I need one more catch. Okay.
And it was going back in.
He didn't have to take his series.
I'm going back in. I'm not coming out.
Yeah.
To be honest, AB probably would have got those. If he just played, he probably would have got
his clothes on.
This is a team last year that takes care of their own. And, you know, Rojo, for whatever reason, was 21 yards away last season from getting 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. They gave the ball to Antonio Brown to make him hit his incentives. So, I mean, he was upset, too. If you listen to the podcast, he goes, you know, Brady, you know, Gronk is boy. Why am I playing on an earnest salary, you know? Well, because you wore out your welcome throughout the entire NFL. Yeah. Maybe you could have signed with the Seahawks, but we also saw how that season turned out, you know. And that's pretty much, you know, that was your only other suitor that was reported. So, yeah, you're going to play for what you can play for or you're not, you know. This is exactly what it is. I don't know. It is what it is. AB is insane. We all know that. Yeah. He's not. He's an illogical person. He's hanging out with Kanye now. Love Fab. Love Fab. But what Fab did in his, you know, he's hanging out with some shady players right now.
That's a dynamic duo right there.
He's hanging out with Fab and Kanye. Like, you know, Love Fab is a rapper, but Fab the person, pretty much a scumbag. Yeah. You know, Kanye, great rapper, pretty much a scumbag. So, what can you do? You're the company you keep. And you got rid of Tom Brady.
you bring up the Seahawks, too, how, you know, AB possibly could have had an opportunity to go there. I thought that the Seahawks – I think there was a lot of interesting teams that went up and went down this year. Outside of the Eagles and the Bucks, who was the biggest surprise for you this year, whether bad or good?
Oh, Bengals for sure. I mean, that was a huge surprise to me. I did not expect them to do as well as they did. Who else?
I think they can make a serious push for the AFC championship, man. The Bengals? They're playing at a different level right now.
They are.
Offense is nice.
They're playing really – I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is just –
he's beasting it, man. Yeah, he's beasting it.
He's something else.
So they got the pick right then.
Instead
of getting the tackle, I thought it was a good pick. I mean, pairing those two up is tremendous. I mean, they're like
all those drops he had in preseason,
and everyone's like, "Oh, he's a bust." Whatever.
I thought Jalen Waddle was going to be a better wide receiver than him over his career, and Jalen Waddle has balled out this season too. But there's just you can't take anything away from what this dude did. He's just been absolutely amazing. So.
Anybody surprised of the Joe Judge firing today?
No.
I wasn't surprised. I just like the timing of it coming off a week after they said that they weren't going to fire him. And then he goes for a quarterback sneak on 3rd and 9 on his own goal line.
Then like, not only that, especially after commenting that everybody and anybody wants to play for him. And bam, he's gone.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad. Now, JC Adam had a question about Bucks versus our tight ends. He's saying, could Goddard have a good game against you guys?
I definitely think so. They've got some great players. Jordan Whitehead is absolutely amazing as a safety, and he doesn't get the love that he should. I'm just kind of looking up what the Bucks have done against tight ends so far this season. I think if you here's the thing: if you're targeting Devin White, you know he's let up 11 catches, or 10 catches on 11 catchable balls. For 63 yards, hasn't let up a touchdown. Sean Murphy bunting has been bullied, like I said. Two completions, 31 yards and a touchdown against tight ends. Levante David has been pretty good, but 6 catches for 27 yards and a touchdown. But remember, he's mostly covering the tight end between him and Jordan Whitehead. Jordan Whitehead 5 for 82 and a touchdown. So there's definitely some opportunity for them to get him going on the season. Total 5 touchdowns led up to tight ends by the Bucks defense. So they can definitely, try to match up. It's going to come down to scheming things, right? This is not to say that your offense is vanilla, right? It's never vanilla during the season because you're always tweaking and improving it. But this is where you come out. Everything's open in the playbook. And if they see some routes that the tight ends are see some things on the tape that says, hey, these tight ends, they're going to attack them and they're going to use it. So, the biggest thing, the Bucks have sucked at tackling. So, I mean, if you get a tight end matched up on Devin White, it could go for a big game. So.
Hey, man, we got a tight end that can break tackles now.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, you're allowed to call it what it is, bro.
No, we don't call him
Yakkerts. Is a saint, you hear me?
Hey, we don't call him – we never called him Yakkerts at all. It's Zacherts.
I thought he would end up in – the funny thing is I really wanted him to go – when it was a whole trade thing, I was like, go to – the Cardinals would be a perfect fit. Cardinals would be a perfect – I think we even talked about this before the trade deadline, too.
I believe you're right.
I was like, the Cardinals would be a perfect fit. And then he goes to the Cardinals, and he's been a perfect fit. It's the last piece of the puzzle they're missing. Obviously, they don't have D-Hop anymore. But, I think he's a great fit over there. He's still a talented player. Can still get the job done. Some of the best tight ends. Tight ends suck in the league. There's only a handful that are good.
But, right.
He's still a really good tight end when he's on.
100% right.
Yeah, man. Now, I know a lot of Eagle fans are heading down to Tampa. Is there any words of wisdom that you could tell? Is Tampa – Is it a great time or what? Like,
yeah, Tampa's great. The weather's awesome. Usually, I saw someone say it rains. Usually, it doesn't rain that much now. We're kind of in our winter, which is still, like I said, it was 80 on Sunday. I think it's 70s all week this week, so it's nice weather. The beaches are still nice, and the sun is strong down here. So, if you're coming down early and you want to head to a beach, definitely do that. I would say check out Fort DeSoto. I went there for the first time with my family this weekend. It's really nice. It's got this old, military base, but the beaches are really nice. It's cheap to get in there, too.
What is it called? Camp
what? Fort DeSoto.
Okay.
I would check that out. Food is pretty good. If you're into Cuban or Mexican food, really good, Cuban or Mexican food. What else? There's all sorts of stuff to do. If you're coming down with kids, with a family type deal, there's a bunch of different things to do outside, walk, river walk, some museums, the aquarium, obviously Busch Gardens, the Tampa Zoo, all of them are really cool.
What's the food of the city? Like Philadelphia's got a cheesesteak. What's the go-to meal to get down in Cuban food?
Probably Cuban food. Okay. I'm a barbecue guy. I'm trying to look up. I'm trying to look up my favorite barbecue spot right now. I can't think of Conan's. Okay, it's called Conan's Barbecue. Let me tell you, this place is amazing. It's got bars on the window. I walked in there one time. They had a whole church progression going on there singing. I was like, I am in the right spot.
I'm
in the right spot. Frenchie's is all right. I see someone said Frenchie's all right, but it's like it's one of those on the beach touristy things, you know? It's like
I remember at Frenchie's. I went down there that year that we played guys, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was your quarterback, and it was the first play of the game. DeSean Jackson killed us. You know, I mean, I'm in the stands all the way in the top, and I called that play from the very beginning. I was like, "Yo, it's gonna be a play to DeSean Jackson." I see it right now, and that's exactly what happened. But now, I definitely following up with what you just said. There's a lot of good places in Tampa Bay, especially in that Clearwater section. Anybody's into wrestling, you can start by Hulk Hogan's, you know, shop, all that stuff. There's a lot of Philadelphia fans actually in that area that retired and actually got spots.
St. Pete just put a boardwalk out there, and they've got some good food options. It's right on the water there. There's dolphins out there as well at night, you know, like when the sun starts coming down. If you want to see some wild dolphins up there, you know, get some good food. There's some good food, you know, Benty Davis Beach. It's called Whiskey. What's it? Not Whiskey Wings. Whiskey Joe's. It's like outdoor bar, outdoor like beach bar, something like that. You can pull up jet skis on it or whatever. It's nice. And Salt Shack's right on the water too. It's another, you know, if you want to sit in the water. Jackson's Bistro. There's some good food down there. There's some good things to do. There's always stuff going on. There's always like, you know, free music festivals or whatnot. Armature Works is good. Got a bunch of food and. It's a nice little spot on the river. And there's a lot of things to do if you're coming down here early. If you're coming just down for the game, parking lot's open 3.5 hours early before the game. So it's not used to – not your 6 hours like Gail was saying. Y'all can get, no wonder why y'all are throwing snowballs at Santa. You've been tricking for 6 hours.
I was – our game didn't start until 8:15. I was drunk by 2 o'clock last week.
we had a brother and sister that came from, like, Utah. It was their first time. At the link, and they started drinking so early, and I was like, y'all ain't gonna make it. So we're halfway there. They're like gone. I'm like, they're like, we had too much to drink.
I just found out that the sister is actually moving to Philly.
Yeah,
so she was staying. Yeah, and the brother was going back. Yeah,
I got one of those stories. It was actually the AFC Championship game against your best friends over there in Pittsburgh. Man, Grey Goose snuck up. Grey Goose and Red Bull. I was just pounding
get
those
you every time
before the game, eating food, and then all of a sudden I was just out. I was like, we didn't go in there until like I was with my wife. We didn't go in there until like mid first quarter, and it was like downpouring, and like we had seats up in the 300s because we were just let's just get in there for the AFC Championship game and you know that's not a bad seat but like I was like I'm like throwing up I'm like getting the top four I'm like we can't so we find this like one spot and we just like hang out in the end zone in the overhang and there was no one that showed up to the seats for like you know 15-20 minutes and the usher was like go ahead sit there but yeah I was like I was that's my story. Red Bull and vodka will get you pretty good sometimes. So.
That's awesome.
I mean, we always have stories but the Patriots, they opened up early too, so they are another one like 4 hours early before the game. So
you got to drink
road sodies and everything.
You got to drink hard liquor up there to keep yourself warm.
It was freezing and it was raining. It was freezing and raining. It was terrible. But of course, Pittsburgh sucks, so we beat them. Four Rivers Barbecue. I wouldn't say it's the best barbecue, but it's got some of the best brisket for sure. If you want good brisket, because Conan's doesn't have brisket, I don't know, Evil Rubber Ducky, if you've ever been there, definitely check out Conan's.
JC's bringing the heat right now. You need to be listening to what he's talking about right now.
there's a spot, it's like 45 minutes, probably an hour from Tampa. It's called M&M Barbecue. It's in Wildwood. It's right off the highway. Best barbecue I've ever had. Best brisket I've ever had in my entire life. It is so good.
You're the second person that's recommended that now.
What's the name of that one?
M&M Barbecue. Yep.
Really? Someone said that before?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally just, like within the past week.
It is bomb. It's a drive, but it is like bomb. It is nice too because like you're outside of Tampa, and like Tampa is like, you know, flat and beaches and stuff like that. But the more you go up, you're like, okay, there's some hills and stuff. I was like shoot up there whenever I like miss New England. I'm like, oh, gotta get out of the city and there's flat ass lakes everywhere. Let me go up to some rolling hills and stuff like that. But yeah, so it's
See, it's
a good spot.
Now I'm hungry.
I'm starving now. I want barbecue. Yeah. Right
there's a part of this podcast when we start talking about food that knows that means
it just
that we're
off the rails entirely.
Yeah. No, but you know, we really appreciate you stopping by and like giving us the scoop, man. Like
I told you we'd be doing this again.
You yep.
I said this in week six. I said, hey, we might be doing this again, so I'll see you soon. And then obviously Gail reaches out to me and says, hey, you want to run it back? I'm like, hell yeah, let's run it back.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Now before you get out of here, like give us your hardcore prediction. Cause I mean I know Eagle fans would love to hear a Bucks for beat reporter's prediction of this game.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think it's a blow-up by any means. I think the Bucks win. I think they handle their business. You know, there's a reason why they're the two seed, and there's a reason why the Eagles snuck into the playoffs as the last seed. So, you know, Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. He should win the MVP. If he doesn't, he's robbed. He's 44 years old. But I don't think the Eagles aren't going to be able to score points. I think you're going to see a pretty, you know, similar game to what we saw back in week six, you know, Bucks probably get a lead. Maybe Eagles come back. I'm looking around 33-20, maybe two touchdowns, two field goals by the Eagles, 33 points by the Bucks. Let's call it that. 33-20.
All right, you make sure you have that same energy on Sunday. All right,
and JC, because I'm still planning it out, but I do plan to drive down there. If you're around, I would love to just say what's up.
Yeah, for sure. When are you coming down?
Leaving Thursday.
Oh yeah, for sure. We'll definitely link up.
I mean, if I don't throw a snowball, I'll throw a sandball at you. I'm gonna hit you with some sand.
Bring a snowball. Is it snow up there? Bring a snowball. Freeze it and put it in the cooler and bring it down.
Put it in a cooler.
Yeah. Hey, you. Yeah. You know me.
I think personally for me, I think a key to victory we have to capitalize on getting in there. And like I said, Nick Sirianni's been all about going forward on fourth down. I think we got to you're playing up against Tom Brady, against the number two seed in the NFC. You got to take points when you can get them. I think Jake Elliott's going to have a healthy amount of kicks, and he's been pretty stellar this year. I mean, he was the highest percentage of an Eagles kicker ever. So I see him having a busy day. This could just be blind loyalty, but I'm going to call it 29-27. Go Birds.
Oh, look at you. Prime, what are your prediction keys to victory?
It's definitely going to be the run. I mean, I know JC mentioned about a couple key players coming back for this week's game. But, you know, like I had said earlier, man, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm not intimidated at all. Whether they come back or not, it's a whole different team. These guys are going to probably, you know, do their thing, you know, with the combination of Jordan Howard. I hope the guy, Booby Smiles, you know, comes and does his thing and, you know, with Gainwell. I think they even decided to keep Hundley on the roster for this week as well because how he shot against the Cowboys last weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, you know, a serious threat coming your way. So I'm feeling great about that. If we can stick to that and we can go ahead and beat you guys with the run, I think our chances are great. I'm going to actually go 24-21, Birds.
Oh, okay. I like that. You know, the thing for me, like I said earlier in the show, two different teams. A team that didn't have identity when they played you. They were doing things that we as fans could see that they weren't built like that. They weren't built for what they were trying to do. I think they finally got into this groove, and I feel like up front, offensively, the linemen have been gelling really well the last couple weeks. You know, 160-plus yards rushing. I think that's who they are, and I think when you're in the playoffs, it's all about imposing your will. Like we were talking early in the season, like we are not imposing our will. We are like, you know, letting teams dictate what we want to do to them. And I finally feel like they got in their groove. So here we are going to the playoffs as underdogs. And this is exactly where I want this team to be. No, I don't want them to be, you know, keep them as the underdogs, tell them they can't do it. That's the way that they flourish. And I feel like, I think some dog masks might be.
Watch what you asked for, man. I got it on standby.
Well, we've been wearing flowers at tailgates, and people are like, "What's with the flowers?" I'm like, "Bro, it's flower power. You know, it is what it is." Well, I think here it comes. I think Ev is going to show you something.
Tried grabbing the flowers and I made a mess.
Well, I'll show. You know, we've been rocking flower power. This is us with Sirianni 2 weeks ago. He had a laugh and chuckle. So, I mean, the whole flower power thing has been real. It's all about the growth. We've seen the growth. And I'm going to say 31, 27 birds.
Okay. 4 points. You got 4 point, 2 points, 3 points. So it's going to be a close game. As long as you guys realize that, the thing is, though, and I'm looking at your stats right now, number one deep rushing offense in the league. The thing that worries me for that is your passing defense is 25th. Passing offense is 25th. You can't be one-dimensional against this Bucks team, or they're going to take something away from you. If they're able to take the running away, then it's going to have to rely on Jalen Hurts and his arm. And Devontae Smith has been good. Jalen Reagor has been, you know, someone's predicting a touchdown. He's been all right this season. So Dallas Goedert's missed some time, but he's still been okay.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That's huge. You guys lose an AB, essentially.
And listen, man, I get it. You're right. I mean, we definitely have to be – it's definitely a two-way street. So we got to have the pass and the rush working together against you guys. But that's just the thing. I mean, I think I'm going to be, you know, pretty confident to say that, you know, get ready for the unexpected. That's just the thing. I think there's going to be a lot of unexpected stuff going on.
You're going to pull out the Philly special again?
Right. And I
you know, there's a
illegal shift this time, right? That was an illegal shift.
He's still hurt.
That was an illegal shift in the Super Bowl. That's all I want to say.
There's a play that Dallas Goedert ran in South Dakota, and I've been wondering, when are they going to pull this play out? It's like a Dallas Goedert special. Like, it's pretty much like, if they run that, it's like an inside handoff, and it's like a pitch to the outside. It's to the quarterback. It's pretty awesome. You have to check it out. It's on YouTube out there. But I just want to let everyone know where they can follow you at on Twitter, JC Allen at NFL. You can check him out at Pewter Report. Now, Pewter is the color, right?
Yeah, pewter. Yeah, it's a Bucks color. Pewter red and white are their colors.
That's like
and creamsicle.
Yeah, so we're trying to explain, John, to you. You're trying to explain pewter to some.
Yeah, yeah. Pewter's a color. Like, it's like silverish, blackish. Follow me on Twitter, guys.
You can keep that, John.
Yeah. This Twitter John right here. Follow me. Crazy random. I'm Jim McMahon followed me on Twitter today out of nowhere. I don't follow him. I don't do anything.
What?
I have no idea why or what caused him to do it. But hey, that's
we have a good friend.
I found
friend
out
of
I did a little Super Bowl shuffle. but yeah. That's crazy.
We have a friend of ours. His name's Chris Nady. He dressed up as Jim McMahon at one game, and then he went viral. He was like all over the place. He had the throwback awesome Kelly Green thing. He had the headband.
Yeah, the McMahon jersey. He had the headband. He had the mullet, just like, you know, McMahon back in the day. He had the sunglasses because he always had sunglasses back on the day. Yeah, and Minshew ended up pretty much hopping on it, and now he's like the Minshew Mania.
Next year, I think you're allowed to bring back multiple helmets. They're working on it. So the Kelly Green
and the creamsicle
can both come back, along with the Oilers and Pat Patriot and a bunch of other things.
I do love the creamsicle jerseys. They're going back to the old school Bucks jerseys.
One of the best centuries in the world.
I already have the Jalen Hurts.
Oh my God.
Let me tell you Kelly something too. I love Jalen Hurts, and I don't know if I told this story last time or not, but one of the things like that got me into this profession was Jalen Hurts. Wow. So I was on this show, Bucks Report, the site that I was with prior to the year prior to, and there we were doing like a mock draft type thing, like, you know, fans. I was at this point, I wasn't on the show, I wasn't calling, I wasn't part of the team. I just, you know, I represented the Patriots because I was from New England, you know, so I represented the Patriots, and I had them draft Jalen Hurts at number 21 overall. or whatever pick they had that year. But I had such a detailed like breakdown on Jalen Hurts, his pros, his cons, why he would be a good fit. Like they're like, whoa, this guy knows his stuff. This guy knows his stuff. So yeah, and then that kind of led to me being brought in as a writer, as a host, as a, like first as a regular recurring guest.
Right.
And then as a writer and a show host, that, you know, Jalen Hurts kind of is part of the reason why I'm even in this position.
Well, my man's blushing, talking about Jalen Hurts over there.
Yeah, we ain't gonna hold it against you. If you're rooting for Jalen Hurts this weekend, it's cool, man.
Hey, you know, I love me some Jalen Hurts. Just not when he's playing the Bucks or the Pats, you know. I don't feel like he gets his flowers enough. They're already talking about, oh, they bring Deshaun Watson. I think we got a good guy in Jalen Hurts who just needs a little bit more time, so.
Now, the funniest thing is, like, a lot of people have realized that Jalen Hurts across the league gets a lot of love from, you know, pretty much, I mean, everyone besides Chris Sims gives Jalen Hurts a lot of love, but I just feel like,
Chris Sims is a clown. Yeah. I don't care going on you know, that might ruin my potential for something later down the line, but, I mean, you look at his quarterback list, that was just such a clown list for likes and clicks and everything. Like, that was just so
bad. He was just trying to generate conversation. Yeah.
Still joke of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
So when you go for that job interview and they're like, hey, man, you know, I'm here for that job interview and with NBC Sports. Yeah, and then
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
Yeah. Run that 4th and John episode 255 back when you call me a clown. You're fired. Get out of here. You don't even get an interview. Get out. You want to work at Pro Football Talk? Get out of here. NBC, you're on. You're
hey,
gone.
Man. Just keep I love that you keep it real. I love you bring the energy. Lots of laughs tonight. Sure. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Last word before we get out of here.
Yeah, last word. Like I said, for the Eagles, it can't be one-dimensional. You know, your running game has came on. Number one run offense in the league. But you're going up against a really tough, and someone mentioned, oh, we ran all over the number one rush defense. Well, it's a little bit different when you've got big boys like Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh, Will Golston. If Lamonte David's back, you've got Shaq Barrett, JPP, Joe Charles Shrinka. Like it's Jordan Whitehead, too, like one of the best run-defending safeties in the league. Like, it's going to be tough, and you're going to have to be multifaceted. You can't just rely on the run. I think a big thing that's going to work into the Eagles' favor is Jalen Hurts' ability as a quarterback, his mobile ability. You know, he can make plays with his legs, extend plays with his legs, and that's really going to hurt the Bucs if they can't contain him and can't tackle. Tackling has been a big issue for the Bucs, and if they can't tackle and contain, they're gonna have a tough go with it with Jalen Hurts, and you saw that as they started their comeback. For the offense, just do what you do. You know you have some mismatches on there. If you can scheme Mike Evans in some different looks, Darius Slay's not going to shadow him the entire game unless they change up their plan. They've been playing mostly zone this year. Thus, they change up their game plan. You can put Mike Evans on some big mismatches and get some good yardage. Again, Gronk, I mean, you tell me what linebacker and safety is going to match up against him and consistently shut him down.
Take
advantage of him, and the same place as well there. Leonard Fournette, I think he finished with the fourth most receptions on the Bucs, even after missing three games in the season. Get him involved in the passing game and, get him involved in the running game. Don't make any turnovers. And I think the Bucs should win this, pretty handily. I have a pretty close score for, 33-20. I think they can win by at least 10 points if they play their game. Now, if they start playing Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in there, it's going to let the Eagles come around, and they have the ability to, I think, come back and make some noise. But the biggest thing for the Bucks on offense, fast start, got to come out hot, got to come out quick. And on defense, you gotta establish yourself early. Establish yourself. You need a three and out. You need a three and out to start the game and just say, hey, listen, it's not going to be easy moving the ball against us all game. So those are my last words. Again, I think the Bucs win. There's a reason why they're the 2 seed. There's a reason why the Eagles are the 7 seed any given Sunday, but I think the Bucs win.
Interesting. Hey, well, yeah, man. Hey, thanks again for stopping through. Again, when I'm down there, I'm trying to look you up. I hit you with a snowball. Maybe you show me, point me in the best direction of some barbecue, and we'll try to link up, man. But appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you soon, man.
All right. Go Birds!
Now, I just one thing I just wanted to bring up for a fellow content creator, Philly Foothills, lost his stepson this Saturday. There is a GoFundMe that I actually retweeted on my Twitter. If you want to go out there and support, they're looking for any donations to help with this for the funeral. So I just wanted to put that out there. Our condolences to you, Philly Foothills. He was at our Saints tailgate.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it was the Saints tailgate. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to give him a shout out. But overall, I mean, last word, Prime, before we get out of here.
Listen, man. Everybody just needs to bring the heat this Sunday. You know, it's a fresh start for us. A lot of us didn't expect us to be where we're at right now, but none of that shit matters. I mean, this team needs all the support that we could give them. I know, Gail, you're heading down there to Tampa. I really wish I could join you, man, but, due to circumstances, I'm going to have to sit this one out. But, hey, listen, I know I'm going to bring the heat, whether if it's there or at home. They're going, I know I'm going to go ahead and have that momentum with me, man. It's all about supporting the team. Other than that, let's just get ready for some playoffs Sunday. So, stay safe. Go Birds.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's officially the playoffs, folks. I mean, this one half of football that we've been playing the past few weeks, that shit ain't going to work anymore. You need to show up for a full 60 minutes. This Eagles team has showed me in the second half of the season this is a capable team. They're moving in the right direction, and we're heading into the playoffs with the right momentum. That's all you can really ask for at this point. I mean, like I said earlier, on previous episodes, this is all gravy at this point. We weren't expecting to be in the playoffs, but we're here. I'm not ready to call this season quits yet just because we've got a tough opponent. I want the Eagles to try their hardest, go in there and try and get the job done. But it's going to be a tough matchup. Jalen Hurts, if he can go in there and have a hell of a performance in a playoff game, and Nick Sirianni the same, that is huge for their development and growth moving forward. So just looking for this team to show some fight and hoping for the best.
Yeah, just following these guys, I'm feeling confident that if it's a game that they can finally come together as a team. And the offense has like some kind of something comes over them and like, hey man, the passing attack is hitting, the running game is hitting, and they just hit their stride. Like again, they know who they are now. I'm just looking forward to it. Like I wouldn't drive all the way down there if I didn't think that Steve had a chance. I just think it's going to be a great opportunity and definitely a litmus test of where they're at. If they want to make some noise, they gotta beat the best. And they have beaten the best in the past to win a Super Bowl. So, I'm just saying. But for us and the guys, man, we'll see you guys soon. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. We'll catch you in the next one.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.